Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report and another company update today, this time from Calibre Mining Corp, traded on the TSX under the symbol CXB and on the OTCQX under the symbol CXBMF. I'm chatting again with Ryan King, Vice President of Corporate Development and IR over at Calibre. Now, Ryan, let's get a broad update here because the last time I chatted with you was back at the beginning of March. We discussed Q4 2019 results. And since that time, the company's come out with a lot of news. We'll start off on the production front. Just today, the company announced a phase restart of operations. We'll get into that shortly. First and foremost, let's talk about Q1 production results. So just to remind everybody, the transaction with B2 Gold closed last October. The company got off to a fast start in Q4 of last year, and Q1 of this year, production increased and is actually coming more in line with some of the bigger goals that the company has. Overall, some of the highlights here, the company produced just over 42,000 ounces of gold. All in sustaining costs were right around $1,000, a little under $1,000 at Libertad property. You also generated a little over $20 million from operating activities. Ryan, give us a little bit more detail on some of these Q1 results, please.
Thanks very much, Corey, for having Calibre Mining on the show. It's great to be able to showcase some of the things we've done. And as you pointed out, it's been an exciting first 6 months of the year for Calibre Mining. Yeah, I take it back to when you and I first did an interview, and Calibre was still an exploration company looking for production, and we were able to successfully acquire producing assets in Nicaragua and partner with B2 Gold. They are our largest shareholder at 34%. These were smaller assets in the B2 Gold portfolio, and so they were focusing largely on Fekola, Ojikoto, and Masbate in different parts of the world. But these assets spawned B2 Gold, which is now a $7 billion company. Our focus is 120% of execution. You know, we do everything we can to deliver on what we say we're going to do. Yeah, we delivered on Q4 production and cost results. And in Q1... was another quarter, again for us, ahead of budget, over 42,000 ounces produced. We had record production at our Le Mans facility at 20,600 and 21,000, over 21,000 ounces produced at the Libertad facility. And what's happening here, what's evolving here, is something known as our hub and spoke operating approach. And what that is essentially the hubs are the two processing facilities. Limon, which is a 500,000 ton per annum facility, and Libertad, which is a 2.2 million ton per annum facility. One of the first things we did was we idled down one of the ball mills at Libertad to focus on production with a margin. And so we had originally guided between 70 and 75,000 ounces out of the Libertad facility, and 70 to 75,000 ounces out of Le Mans. But by doing that one change at Libertad, so reducing throughput slightly, we're already seeing a close to $550,000 per month cost savings at a very de minimis reduction to previous year's production. And so, again, for Calibre, these are our only producing assets today. So it's 120% focus on delivering, executing on what we say we're going to do. Q1, rolling out that that hub and spoke approach. And this is the big value opportunity for Calibre as we analyze this today is we've got excess milling capacity at Libertad. And yet not a huge resource base at Libertad. I mean, there's zero reserves today. And we've got about, between indicated and inferred resources, about 600,000 ounces in the two different categories on the Libertad property. But at Limon and Pavón, we've got additional high-grade ore sources that when we first stepped back and looked at it, thought, okay, we could likely... you know, truck some of that material down, add some incremental ore to the Libertad facility. And what we're seeing is that the infrastructure in country is very good. Paved Pan-American highways, favorable cost structure to haul material around the country. And what we're seeing based on Q1 actuals is that it's roughly about $25 US per ton to haul ore from Limón, which is located about 250 kilometers away from Libertad. So, you know, if you look at it on a grade perspective, if we're mining, let's call it a 3.5 gram ore at Limón and hauling it down to Libertad, you would lose about a half a gram in the haulage costs, but you're still processing 3 gram material at Libertad. So as Darren Hall, our chief operating officer, started to architect this plan, his vision was, you know, go slow, start to see if we can really prove this out and execute. And Q1 was a demonstration of that concept, because 20% of the metal production that went through the Libertad facility actually came from sources outside of the Libertad mining concession, which included Limón and Pavón. So now, as we roll this out, we believe we'll be increasing tonnage from Limón down to Libertad, slowly but surely layering on Pavón, which is a development stage ore source, and we're in permitting of that project. Again, located about 250 kilometers from Libertad, and we anticipate having a permit in hand by Q4 of this year. So the hub and spoke approach, the hubs being the facilities, the spokes being the multiple ore sources, we see a great organic growth profile in front of us by utilizing this operating philosophy. And in fact, we've been nurturing it and evolving it and advancing this approach, working with a third-party external consultant, RPA. And Darren and the operating team have been putting together a plan that shows how this hub-and-spoke approach will evolve over the next couple of years. And so, in fact, we'll be putting out some news in the next couple of weeks that demonstrate what this multi-year outlook, our multi-year outlook, looks like from a production and from a cost perspective by advancing this operating philosophy. And it looks pretty interesting. You know, at first look, when we got into these assets, the Libertad facility and mines were actually part of B2 Gold's disclosure as going into closure mode. And the government was aware of this. But when we came in, we said, well, you know, there's huge exploration potential. And so let's start investing in that. Let's idle down one of the ball mills. Let's focus on production with good margins. And we're already seeing a cost coming down from previous years. But now with this new operating philosophy, we have no intentions to go into care and maintenance or closure. In fact, we're reinvesting in the business, and we see multiple years in front of us. And actually, in fact, we see a growing profile in front of us, because grade profiles will be increasing. So a very exciting opportunity for Calibre as we unlock this this approach and deliver on what we said we're going to do. And I think Q1 was a demonstration of and proof of that we can, in fact, do this. So it's exciting times.
So even included in that news release on May 6th that outlined those Q1 results, that hub and spoke approach was mentioned there because of, as you said, 20% of Libertad's production came from Limón and Pavón, and that was because this Jabali underground mine was temporarily suspended. So, hey, that hub and spoke model helping to keep that production profile somewhat stable. What about the phase startup plans that were just released today? What are some more details you can give us here of how production will be restarted at the projects?
Yeah, we put the operations on temporary suspension. We announced March 25th that we were proceeding with that. Obviously, largely due to the global pandemic, the increasing pandemic around the globe was very worrisome for all of us. And in order to keep our employees, our contractors, communities as safe as we possibly could, we felt it was prudent to take this step. It wasn't a government regulated rule. This was self-imposed. We voluntarily shut these down. And yet at the same time, recognizing that countries like Nicaragua, Central America, and various countries around the world do need to keep working to sustain. You know, we can't just look at the coronavirus pandemic, because if people aren't working and making money, they're not able to feed themselves and their families. So starvation is huge. We recognize, obviously, that aspect of it and furloughed all of our employees. Senior management also took a 25% reduction in salaries to align ourselves, not only with our shareholders, but all of our workforce. And so we're all in this together, understanding the difficult times that we're going through. But we felt it was very important to keep the employees furloughed. I believe at the end of the day, it amounted to about 2/3 of everyone's salary amongst the workforce for the time that we're on suspension. And we've learned a lot over those number of months. We've had a skeleton crew monitoring and keeping the assets, of course, secure and in a state of operating readiness. But yeah, we've learned a fair amount. We have been distributing different articles and tips for hygiene and health and safety within the communities. We've been distributing different hand sanitizers and gels, of course, PPE. And now, as we look to restart, what we've been doing is training all of the employees with the new protocols, the new measures of safety, providing, of course, significant PPE. And this phased restart will be a go slow approach, you know, start getting people back in, doing some additional training, working social distancing, going through the mine gates. There's obviously heightened measures to ensure that people that are coming in are healthy, you're in a healthy work environment, doing temperature control readings, etc. So it's a very slow phased approach, and ensuring that we're taking all of the international guided steps for health and safety for getting back to work. But the phased approach is really, you know, go slow, get your operations back together. Start working with people, communicating with people, having them start the mining, and then also at the same time, slowly turning the mills back on, getting your processing going. So, you know, this takes a fair amount of time. We are in a good position because we did proactively and in a controlled environment suspend the operations. And we had consumables brought in and available to us. So we have all of the reagents, consumables, and supply chain management is in very good order. And so a couple of weeks in front of us here to get ramped up to steady state should be what is was probably reasonable and logical to get back up to where we think commercial production will be. And then we'll be putting out revised guidance for the remaining part of the year, remaining half of the year, and then a full year outlook, you know, almost essentially a full quarter of production loss, revenue loss. But at the same time, you know, obviously significant, one of the top priorities of any company should be the health and safety of people. But we're in a good position. Our balance sheet is good. You know, May 7th, we announced about $37 million in cash, between $2 and $3 million expenses while on temporary suspension. And at the same time, we've been using the opportunity, working on permitting, technical studies, social investment programs within the communities and assets that we work on. So we have been advancing some good progress in the background while on suspension. And I think it'll just bolster our opportunity in front of us now as we continue to evolve this hub and spoke and continue to review closely all the opportunities for cost savings for the remainder of the year and well into the outlook that we see for the assets.
Okay, so everything sounds like it's on track for a fairly near-term startup, and hey, the company still does have a lot of cash in the bank, so that temporary suspension, not a big deal. Let's talk about some of the exploration work that's going to be ongoing, because I see exploration is one aspect of this company that could drive the stock, at least in the near term. That being said, the stock has already bounced very nicely off that March washout, where it dropped to about 46 cents, currently trading right around $1.40, just under that. So it has rebounded very strongly. When it comes to exploration, on May 20th, you guys announced that you are increasing your exploration program by 30%, upping the total meterage to 60,000 meters. This will actually bring 6 drill rigs up to 10 drill rigs in Q4 of this year. Take us through the goals of this exploration program, please.
Yeah, of course. It's really an exciting time. I mean, these assets have been produced for decades. And what our team has identified is that a number of targets, near surface, early stage targets, some areas that have never been drilled, some areas that have been drilled but look like they've got good resource expansion potentials, whether it be down dip or a long strike. And so that was one of the things that we first and foremost recognized here at Limon and Libertad. And we were very fortunate because B2 Gold did a great job with these assets. And importantly, what they did was in 2017, they rediscovered, I'll call it, a zone called the El Limon Central High-Grade Open Pit. And they got in there, they drilled it, and the first couple of holes were very good widths, very good grade near surface. I think at one point in time, they had up to 8 drill rigs on the El Limon Central zone, which is now, of course, an open pit ore feed for the Limon facility. And they drilled 2017 and 18 and outlined about 2.5 kilometer long, low sulfidation epithermal vein that is quite robust. You know, I think the average grade between indicated and inferred is right around 4.5 grams of open pit material. So high grade open pit. But at the same time, you know, these assets were still fairly small for a B2 Gold, less than 5% of their NAV, less than 6% of their production. And the opportunity here is down plunge of some of these zones. We've got some great graphics on our website that we use with Verify technology to show previous drill stems, previous intercepts, where the inferred and indicated resources are, and very clearly to us and our geological team where the extensions could be. And there's a number of zones over this 2.5 kilometer strike that we're going to be drilling down plunge and a long strike. And yet, when you take a step back and you say, well, this was rediscovered, there was some historic mining decades ago, underground, very narrow, that I think the original view was that there's probably not a lot of ore left there. But previous miners had backfilled and even backfilled high-grade ore. And so as we get in here and mine this, we're starting to see that this, you know, some of these small little shafts are backfilled with high grade. But not only that, it's you know, 9 years B2 Gold were in country. 8 or 9 years they were in country, and then they rediscovered this new high-grade open pit, which I think collectively between the Limon Central, Limon Norte and Tigre Pozo Bono has close to, an indicated and inferred resources has close to probably 1.2, 1.3 million ounces. So it's a very exciting opportunity to expand there. But if we step back there, over 3.5 million ounces have been produced from this Limon district from various different underground open pit sources. So we see good potential for additional discoveries, for resource expansion, was evidenced by the work B2 Gold did. So there's a number of areas that that we've identified. We've brought in a structural geologist to review, and the structural geologist that has worked with our VP exploration in the past has identified a number of additional targets beyond any areas that have been drilled. So it's a very exciting opportunity at Limon. And then over at Libertad, a very large district, a very large camp. The Libertad proper is probably 200 square kilometers. And then there's this new concession called Amalia, where we had some initial high-grade success there. We're going to be getting back in there and drilling that, but also expanding the program. As you said, you know, the drilling program is expanding, but we're also expanding the mapping, the sampling, the generative work to identify new targets, because Amalia is, you know, over 300 square kilometers, and we were the first company to drill in some of those low sulfidation vein targets. So we believe there'll be good opportunities to find new targets to expand what has already been identified. And across the 20 kilometer gold mineralized corridor at the main Libertad property, We have targets, as you just mentioned, the heavily open pit and underground extensions to the west and down plunge. There's a number of other areas that recently we've drilled into this new vein system called Trenka, which has yielded some good initial results, and we'll be drilling there. So a number of targets that we're following up on, and that's why we're excited about it. That's why we have 6 drill rigs going to 10, focused on resource expansion, focused on discovery. And it's definitely an interesting time because we've got the operations coming on, going to be generating some very good operating cash flow. We should see some very good organic growth, production growth on the resource base as of the end of 2019. And we have excess milling capacity at Libertad. So any sort of exploration success we have, we can quickly turn that into an ore feed going into the Libertad facility, because our landscape now, as we've proven in Q1, is any sort of open pit or underground ore source within roughly 300 kilometers from the Libertad facility. We can likely haul that, obviously depending on grade, but we can haul that effectively, safely, and potentially increase production. So it's for very little capital. You know, the capital is sunk into that mill. And that's the great opportunity here, and hence the reason why we've expanded the drill program, this 30%. But so far, yeah, we've also yielded some great results. At Pantheon, for example, is a high-grade vein structure within the Limon complex. We had great results, 10 meters, 17 grams. So lots of opportunity for expansion and new discoveries within these camps.
All right, Ryan, we're going to wrap it up there. A lot to take in for everybody. This was a more comprehensive update. If anybody has any follow-up questions for Ryan and the team over at Caliber, please email me, fleck@kereport.com. We can look at individual projects or some of the other goals around this drilling that the company has planned for this year. Ryan, I appreciate the update. I'll follow up with you as some more news hits the market. Have a great rest of your week.
Thanks very much, Corey. As always, appreciate the time.